money off for 1.6 billion.
Wow.
The AI was learning your habits. The AI would be in trouble, right?
It means it's also listening constantly.
Apple Aura.
Yeah.
Apple will have a lot of power once they're learning all of our habits. They'll be able to understand exactly how to sell to us, how to manipulate us. So we need to be careful.
Yeah.
Maybe Siri's a bit jealous.
The best within the team. He wants to be the best within Portugal. He wants to be the person that scores the most goals of all time. He wants to be the person that breaks XYZ records.
Definitely one of the biggest ones, if not arguably the biggest one. Jay-Z and Nas. It was huge, but it was before our time.
Wow. I didn't even realize it was that much.
Before we actually put this chip in our head.
The chip thing doesn't sit well for me.
You could change the eye color, the hair color.
And it was a battle between the two couples. Who do you think would match my character?
Probably say maybe Sanji.
And the winner is Sydney.
Welcome back to Teddy Talks. Blessed and grateful to have you all join us once again. Today I have with me, not just today, but every other day, Sydney Suarez, and the man in the background that makes everything happen, the magic, Sammy. I don't think I want to say the man in the background, actually, because Sammy, you're much more than that. Sounds like a backup dancer. He definitely isn't that. But we also have some games going on today, which I'm so excited about because I don't actually know what's within the game. Sid, you excited about that too?
I don't know what's in the game, but I'm excited to see what you've got in store for us.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. And a new thing, which I'm really, really looking forward to hearing from you. Fan Zone. We are calling it Fan Zone. And it's
Fan Zone?
Yeah, Fan Zone.
What is that?
Fan Zone. So it's involving everyone that's in the community or even outside of the community. If you don't follow us, shame on you, but throw in your questions. Let's get straight into it. So what have you got for us, Sammy?
All right. So guys, we're going to start with our first segment. Let's talk about it. And I'm going to give you some latest topics in the news and you tell me how you feel about it.
Sure.
And you can talk about it. So let's start with the first one. So I don't know if you know this, but Apple is rolling out the iPhone 17. So what's special about this iPhone is that it features a built-in AI assistant that learns your habits and personality.
Ooh.
How do you feel about that?
I'm 50-50, you know. I think I'm more 40-50. 40-50, shit, poor maths. 40-60.
Yeah, because if the AI was learning your habits, the AI would be in trouble, right?
It means it's also listening constantly. Like, imagine you're with your intimate one and AI says, no, Teddy, she doesn't like it like that. Stop.
Oh, God.
Like, what's going on? Alexa just says, yo.
You're not hearing it right.
Siri.
God. Let me take over.
That's painful. What'd you do about it? Or you've been doing the series like,
I think
5 minutes is not long enough. You need to pleasure her a little bit more. Do this, do that.
So last time we lasted 2 minutes. What's going on now?
Break a record, Ted.
So you guys said Siri, but actually that's not going to be the name for this new AI.
Oh.
Can you guess what the name is going to be?
Sarah?
It's not Sarah, I'm guessing.
It's not Sarah. So the name is going to be Apple Aura.
Apple Aura.
Yeah.
I like interesting. It. I do like that.
I do like it as well.
I like Aura. It makes you feel a bit like huge power. I feel like there's a lot of power when you say Aura. Tell me how my day's going.
Apple will have a lot of power once they're learning all of our habits and our behaviors, right?
Yeah.
They'll be able to understand exactly how to sell to us. So,
Aura.
How to manipulate us. So we need to be careful.
Do you think you'll miss Siri? Like just saying Siri.
I don't really use Siri, to be honest.
Okay.
Do you?
Me too, to be fair. Do you know what I noticed as well, actually? My Siri currently has just gone dark. Like I don't get much from Siri. I get more from ChatGPT than I do from Siri. Way more.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe Siri's a bit jealous.
Maybe.
You're
it feels neglected.
Yeah. It's like when you change barbers.
Yeah.
Barber starts giving you the cold shoulder. He knows what you've done.
Cheated on.
You can see what that shape up looks like. No, he didn't touch it.
That's crazy. So what's going to be the biggest difference with Aura? Do we know? Like,
what's... So what people are saying is that this is a phone who's going to be able to predict your moods. So this is why people are thinking, is this great or is this a Black Mirror episode?
Ooh.
And let's close off on that. What do you think? Do you think it's a good thing or do you think it's a bad thing? Especially something to predict your mood. Never mind, you know, predict your salary, whatever. Sure. Your mood, something that is superhuman.
Well, I think because I'm wearing black today, I might as well play bad cop on this side. You can play the angel since you're wearing white.
Could be death to Aura.
You know, I feel like if you're someone who doesn't want to rely on some sort of an emotional cue and you want to be in control of how you feel in any given moment, then this is a scary tool. If you feel like there is someone or something pulling the strings behind how you feel in a particular moment, maybe there'll be some sort of identity crisis at some point. How do I know I am me if I don't even know how I'm feeling in this very moment in time?
Yeah, I think for those people that don't really know or understand what their routine is and just fully are self-aware of themselves, I definitely can see how that could be scary. I'm looking at it as if you are fatigued, a bit like Whoop. I think Whoop does this. Like if you're fatigued, then you have lack of sleep and your vitals and everything is running a bit low, then I'd like to think Aura will chime in and say, hey, you need a bit more sleep because it's affecting your stress levels. It's affecting, your mood, essentially. Mm-hmm. If you get more sleep, then your mood will be better. If if Aura suggests that you need to be a bit more well... your nutrition, you need to improve your nutrition, you need to improve your habits, then I suppose that suggestion would help those people that, from what you were saying, don't really understand. It gives you a bit more clarity around how you need to operate if your mood is drastically low. I mean, if it's going to tackle the figures, and I don't know what the figures are, I don't know if you can pull it, Sammy, but if it's going to tackle depression and it's going to tackle those people that are feeling quite low and give you positive, some sort of positive outcome on how you can improve on that, then I can't see why it's a bad thing in terms of monitoring your day-to-day habits. If you're living life where, which I don't think anyone's perfect, but if you're living life where you have got a great routine and your mood that Aura suggests is great, then I can't see why you would have Aura tapped into your life 24/7 telling you that your mood's great. Every single day, your mood's great, your mood's great, your mood's great. Although on the flip side of that, although I've said that, now that I've said it out loud, it kind of reminds me of like your affirmations every single morning. If Aura is doing that for you and saying, Teddy, you're in a great mood, go and kill the day. Go and smash whatever you have to do today. Every single day it's doing that. I suppose that in my mind is not a bad thing. As opposed to someone that has a depressive state of mind that says, oh, I don't want to wake up today. I don't want to do this today. I don't want to do that today. I don't know. Does that shut down your negative approach?
No, I hear you. And I think there's a lot of pros around being able to help people who have depressive moods, states, and don't feel well, generally speaking. But, where I was coming from was that, someone who wants to have complete autonomy over how they feel may not be keen on, using...
Yeah. Is that Apple with the caveat that their mood is already okay?
Okay, let me just give you an example. Let's say for a creator, an artist, a musician who channels into some sort of moods when they're creating, And it's like, okay, when I feel this way, I'm going to start writing.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to get in a booth and this is my outlet when I feel this way.
Interesting.
So why should I be taken off this track when I know that I can do something with this mood? And actually, when I'm angry, I'm become more competitive.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't take me off my angry train because I know how to channel that emotion into the right motions to get me to where I want to be. So I think,
because there are some dickheads in the world that thrive off being a dickhead.
Let's just
speak facts. Yeah. There are some nasty people in the world that thrive off being that character.
Mm-hmm.
They can't really operate and be happy, and they like being that character. But if Aura is saying that's not good for you, it's very conflicting, right?
Very conflicting. But, you know, for the health benefits, everything that you've said around that, I think, yeah, it's a great way to help humanity. You know, if there's a lot of people out there that are struggling, that can't get in front of therapists, can't get in front of doctors, who don't have a good support network, then AI can be that support network for you. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's another great point. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of viewed as a therapist in one sense. If you are going through, if you're going through a depressive state of mind, I think everyone goes through ups and downs. So just to have someone checking in, I'm on the side of that not being too much of a bad thing. I think if it's like super intrusive, depending on how intrusive Aura is, that could be the sticking point.
And the other thing I was thinking of actually is if you are able to program what the interventions can be for yourself,
oof, yes,
then it could be a good tool. So if you can say, okay, look, when I feel this way, I want you to give me these prompts because I know that restores me back to my peak state, which I need to be in whenever I'm working on this task, or whenever I'm meeting up with my family, my friends, or I'm seeing my girlfriend, or whatever it is. So yeah, I think that it all just depends on how much does Apple control, how much does the individual control.
A bit like ChatGPT as well, like there's a bit of suggestions as well, so that conversation and communication, I think you're so right, it's super important. Mm-hmm. To have that back and forth. I'm curious to know what you guys think back at home. Is it a pro? Is it a con? Is it something that you think you could live without? Like, tell me your thoughts on this new iPhone 17.
Amazing. So I'm going to bring back a topic. So topic number two, I'm going to bring back a topic that's been going on. It's kind of died off, but I still want to bring it back up because I want to give respect to these artists, obviously. So Drake and Kendrick.
Oh,
right. Yes. So let's bring back that up a little bit. So the beef obviously has been going on for some time, but in 2025 it just hit a whole new level, right? To the point that Drake is suing, you know what I mean? So it's new.
But Drake's been suing. Drake's been suing.
So but the question is, no matter, like, obviously they had this big beef, but who do you think has the more Billboard number one singles? Do you think Drake or Kendrick?
Drake.
That's biased, by the way, but Drake.
How many do you think Drake has, and how many do you think Kendrick has?
Number one singles.
Number one singles. I feel like Drake. I think Drake's on like 14 or 15.
Very close.
Very close. Thank you for that, Sammy. I reckon 20, maybe.
No, you went the opposite way, which is fine. How many do you think Kendrick has?
I think maybe Kendrick has 6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with like maybe 8, 9.
Okay. So it's actually Drake has 13.
Oh.
Kendrick has only 3.
Wow.
Shoot. So in terms of like the entire career, there's no comparison, even though Kendrick killed him. But people
and
need
also
to understand.
Kendrick did the Super Bowl, like, he did based the Super off Bowl. Doing having 3. What?
Yeah, just 3. Yeah. So just to put it in perspective about the careers of these two people, it's very important to know. So do you think this was the greatest rivalry
of all time?
Of all time?
No, but it's up there.
What's number one?
That was a strong no, bro. What?
Because there's so many great rivalries. Roger Federer, Nadal, Roger Federer, Djokovic, Messi, Ronaldo.
Ya una batalla fuerte con Cristiano. Y ahora le tenés tres, perdón, más que él, que es el segundo en el ranking. Ya se terminó la batalla.
No, bueno, siempre fue una batalla entre comillas, sí, ¿no? En lo deportivo, muy linda, creo que mutuamente no alimentábamos del uno al otro, porque creo que los dos somos muy competitivos y él también siempre quería ganar a todo y en todo. Y bueno, creo que fue una época muy linda para nosotros y para la gente que le gusta el fútbol en general. Creo que tiene muchísimo mérito lo que hicimos durante tanto tiempo, ¿no? Porque, como se suele decir, entre comillas, fácil llegar, lo difícil es mantener. Si nosotros nos mantuvimos en la cima durante 10, 15 años, no sé cuánto. Y fue espectacular y un lindo recuerdo para todo el mundo que disfruta el fútbol.
Connor could be.
Nah, but these guys, the ones that you mentioned, mm-hmm. they're not like battling against each other. Like Messi isn't, like Messi, to be fair, he's kind of, he doesn't want it with Ronaldo. He's just playing his ball. But like these two, Drake and Kendrick, are actually going at each other.
But Drake and Kendrick are in a different sport. So yeah. Optically it would look that way, but Messi, he's a competitive guy. Yeah, the fact that he's getting what, 7-8 Ballon d'Ors, is not by accident. It's because he wants to out-compete.
We're the ones at home that says you two are Messi versus Ronaldo.
I think they both push each other. They probably would say that.
Yeah, facts.
I'm sure that facts. Messi sees, well, when he was at his peak and when Ronaldo was at his peak, they were probably trying to outdo each other with the
but
numbers.
But I reckon Ronaldo more than Messi.
Probably. probably.
Just in terms of like personality. Ronaldo puts out there more than Messi that he wants to be the best within the team. He wants to be the best within Portugal. He wants to be the person that scores the most goals of all time. He wants to be the person that breaks XYZ records. You don't really hear Messi saying, other than, I want to win a World Cup with Argentina. You don't really hear him talk about the individual numbers as much as Ronaldo does. So like, in terms of like the competitiveness, going back to Sammy's question, I feel like the people that out and out say, I'm better than the number two, or I'm better than this person.
Mm-hmm.
The actual public rivalry is there. Who do you reckon is Biggie Tupac? That kind of thing.
No, I think Biggie Tupac was definitely one of the biggest ones, if not arguably the biggest one, because both of them have died. Rest in peace, both of their souls. But I think within our lifetimes, if we're isolating it just within rap, Kendrick and Drake, definitely the biggest rivalry. But outside, where there's different industries that have their own battles, I don't know whether it's the greatest rivalry.
Interesting.
I don't know.
What about just to put a spanner in the works? My answer is top three. But what about like Nas, Jay-Z? What about the idea of Ja Rule, 50 Cent? Like, do you think that all of those, well, just staying with the music,
mm-hmm.
do you think those were as, I suppose, as hot as, like, on the iron as the whole Drake and Kendrick thing?
The 50 Cent and Ja Rule back and forth was definitely entertaining. But I think as a 50 Cent fan, and I think, generally speaking, at the time, 50 Cent had the world on his shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. At his feet, for sure.
Yeah. So it wasn't really a big number one versus number two.
It was everyone was just like, yeah, 50 Cent. Why is Ja Rule like, what's going on?
Yeah. But he was a big rapper, so yeah, it was a good spot. Jay-Z and Nas.
That was huge, bro.
It was huge, but it was before our time. So before I could really appreciate lyrics, what they meant, the context of everything. So I think just because Kendrick and Drake is within our time, and I've been following both of them very closely since I was knee high, this makes it one of the most entertaining battles I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's more pound for pound. It's more, well, I say pound for pound, pound for pound within our era. But yeah.
And the space in which they had released those tracks were quick. It was like quick fire, back and forth, boom, 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 boom. You're like, whoa, what's going on? I just woke up. There's another one. Meet the Grahams. Family Matters. What?
Yeah. And now people are talking about squabble.
Squabble up.
Do you reckon they will actually squabble up?
No, because it's a one-sided fight. You know, Kendrick's 5'6".
Yeah.
Drake's in his, you know, 6 foot something. You got us basically like a light heavyweight versus a featherweight, a bantamweight. It's not fair.
Yeah.
But if Kendrick wants to do that, that would be fun to watch.
Basically, it'd be fun to watch you get pummeled. Pummeled and thrown around.
Don't do it, Kendrick. Cool. All right. So. Next topic. So, as we know, Rockstar Games has reportedly spent more on GTA 6 than any game in history. But can you guess how much GTA 6 is rumored to have cost to develop and market? GTA 5 reported that it spent $265 million to develop and market the game. So, what do you think GTA 6 budget was?
Wow, I didn't even realize it was that much. 200 what?
65 mil.
Okay, so definitely new gen consoles. I'm gonna go with like maybe 350 mil.
Nice.
I'm gonna go for 1.6 billion.
1.6 bill.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the winner is Sydney.
No way.
Yeah, it's reported to they report to have spent between 1 and 2 billion to develop and market this game.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But to be honest, the trailer that we saw, it looked like movie development stuff.
Mm.
But I don't even know if movies are touching those kind of numbers. Like, are they touching those numbers?
No.
To market and develop?
Like, how much are they projecting to make back if they're spending up to that's crazy. But look, the trailer did look like it was 2 billion worth of, you know, development that's gone into this game, because I haven't seen anything like that before.
No. There's no game right now apart from, I would say, maybe Forza and all these other games that are more concentrated. You've got maps, you've got like specific repeated stuff that's going on within the game that makes sense as to why the graphics are the way the graphics are. But with GTA and how expansive the map is supposed to be, being online,
you should be able to make money on it, apparently. Are you hearing that? Okay. So you might be able to convert.
We like a new revenue stream.
you get a digital job, or actually maybe at this time AI agents would have evolved. So, you know, you can, Teddy, you get your own AI agent that's working for you in GTA 6.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in your own, wellness resort that's now, you know, looking after different people. And, you know, you're charging people prices to stay at your resort. Yeah. And you cash in on your digital currency, convert that back to GBP. We're winning, just, baby.
I might just write my notes real quick.
New business strategy.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
That's amazing. Back to your question, Teddy. The biggest budget on any film ever was Star Wars The Force Awakened in 2015, and they spent $447 million.
That's the biggest. The
highest of all time.
Wow. Yeah. So not even movie theaters can compete with the GTA. My first instincts, when I saw the trailer, I thought I'm definitely going to dedicate at least a week to this game. just nothing else is happening around my life, I'm going to pause, and a week is going to be dedicated to this game when it comes out. And I reckon a few people are going to be taking time off work as well.
There's going to be a few unhappy partners.
Yeah, for sure.
I like how you guys have already assumed that this is going to be something completely different, that we've never seen anything like it. But there's a question on the internet that I would like for you guys to answer. Is this the next level of gaming? Are they going to keep us in these worlds now? We'll make money there. We don't need to leave the house. Or are studios just losing their mind, spending all this money just to get the next big game?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we play a lot of COD. We play Call of Duty. Don't really play Fortnite, but we know so many people that play Fortnite. And I automatically think that GTA is going to be miles ahead of... Everyone's just going to want to be involved. And I think that goes towards the people that would have played GTA back in the day. There's so many people that may have stopped gaming that may potentially come back and say, no, I have to get this console, and I need to have this game and play this game, and potentially bring people together as well. Because for COD, with us, it's a good opportunity to speak with our friends, and it's a good opportunity to actually catch up with our friends and just have a bit of banter online, but the comfort of your own home. So GTA is almost like Sims. I don't know if people back home remember Sims, but Sims was like, you're creating a human, and you're basically living the life of this human, but in a game, and how you may want to live it. And GTA is just a different level of, even the world that we live in today, where you can essentially have so much crazy stuff going on, and GTA is that world. Like, you can do anything and everything. If you want to steal a car and pull someone out of a car 50 times, you can do that. If you want to rob a bank, you can do it. If you want to have a relationship within a game, you can do it. Like, you can live so many different lives within GTA, from a, I don't know how else to put it, but like, from a devilish point of view.
Basically live out all your temptations, all your fantasies.
All your fantasies, everything. Is on GTA. Yeah. And we know the world thrives off negativity. They thrive off, for some reason, the things that everyone loves to see someone fall down. You laugh and you play that moment over and over again. And GTA is like so many different versions of that, but in a game. And to have it look more realistic, I definitely think that it's going to take over and potentially break the internet for a couple of weeks.
So do you think it's worth them spending the $2 billion to chase the next thing that makes people addicted? Or is it, you know, as Sammy said, you know, just the ploy to... What was the question? Sorry, Sam.
So whether this is going to be a whole new era of gaming, or is this like they're literally just trying to get the next hit of gaming, like the next God of War? Remember when God of War came out, everybody's on it. They're trying to do something similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I think in terms of potentially it being a new era of gaming, I can see it changing everything.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about having virtual stores. You know, I joked about you having your own wellness resort, but you know, I don't see it being unrealistic that Nike will have a virtual store in GTA, and potentially you might be able to go into that Nike store, get a fresh pair of Nike trainers for your guy, and then maybe that gives you a 10% discount to fresh Air Force Ones in real life, you know. So they're I feel like they are going to create some sort of digital connection with the real life, you know, world that we're living in. And then it's like, all right, cool, if you are going to be playing these games, these businesses are still going to want to market to us, because our eyes aren't on our phones, our eyes are going to be in the games. They want to be in the games as well.
Yeah, so I
think that's going to be interesting. And then maybe if technology develops to a certain level where you know, right now VR isn't at the place where it needs to be. But I think when VR becomes less expensive and the graphics become so realistic and the haptics or the feedbacks, like when you put the gloves on or whatever they put on, when that feedback becomes so realistic that you actually feel like you're Neo in the Matrix and you just need to become plugged or unplugged, I feel like that's when games are... Then we'll be asking questions. Are we in this simulation?
Yeah.
Or are we not?
And I really do think that the game is gonna be, the gaming world is gonna change. 100%. Like when you look at the previous GTAs and how much, even the old GTA, the GTA 5, a lot of people are still online, and there was a lot of people that are still creating parties and doing their own thing in that GTA world. This is so much more immersive.
I like that.
Yeah, so much more immersive.
What else you got for us, Sammy?
I've got another one. So from keeping in the world of AI and the future and the change in civilization, Neuralink.
Ooh.
So I like how you said that GTA is going to have real world, GTA 6 is going to have real world consequences. Right, that's going to be amazing. And I think we're going to get there very quickly because of Neuralink, because Neuralink is going to enable us to connect to these new features in these games quickly. So Neuralink has officially implanted brain chips in its first human subjects. So what do you think? Would you rather a Neuralink chip in your head or... yeah, would you take it, basically? Would you take that deal?
Pause.
Sorry about that, yeah.
Pause right there.
Let me ask the question again. Would you allow for a Neuralink chip to be implanted in your brain?
No.
Wait, but for the context at home, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like? What's happening?
A surgery needs to happen,
yeah,
where they will implant a chip in your head that will allow you to pretty much become superhuman. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read off some of the pros of what this means, and then you tell me, right?
Yeah.
So it enables individuals with paralysis to control devices using their brain, right? So you don't need anything. You just will implant you with robot arms, and then you can control them. Any nonverbal individuals will be able to communicate. And then potential to alleviate symptoms of Parkinson's, epilepsy. There is a future application that may include memory augmentation and accelerate learning. That means I can program you to know martial arts as deeply knowledge martial arts as Khabib. So you can have Khabib skills today.
I imagine you can speak French, Spanish, all everything. This kind of thing.
Yeah. You have, if you don't have no game, we're going to give you the best game, right? That's a good one, though. That'd be awesome. There's amongst many, many others. But the number one thing that people are talking about is the fact that if I want to learn a guitar, I can learn it by just programming it into my brain.
I've always wanted to play the piano as well, so that would be wild.
Yeah, but then you lose the value of learning how to play the piano. You know, if you just know how to play the piano straight away.
Yeah, tell me how that's bad.
Listen.
What? Mom, you don't have to spend 100, 200, 300, however many thousands for these lessons. I'm just going to be able to play the piano.
You won't appreciate it. I'll give you an example. When you work really hard for something and then you finally get it, it feels good and you really value it.
Yeah.
When you get something that's dispensable, you're not going to value the skill of playing a piano if you get it just like that.
Yeah.
You'll be like, okay, I'm going to rinse it today and I'm going to be on to the next skill. But if
then
you
you can play the piano and the guitar.
Yeah, but you won't really understand how to, you know, play the Mozart. You know, and how you're just like picking up a few notes and you're like, okay, I'll play the piano.
But then I say to you, Chip says I can play Mozart. This is Angel now playing devil.
Okay.
Well, but I do agree though. Yeah. The process. Mm-hmm. You missed the process. The process is gone. Mm-hmm. And I value know, but I think can there's potentially
also,
be a
and there's
risk.
Also beauty in the process. You know, learning how things are constructed could also okay. And then arguably, oh yeah, you already know how it's constructed if the chip's been put in your brain. Blah, blah, blah. That I understand that, but what I'm saying is going through the hard grit work of falling, learning, failing, succeeding. That experience in itself. That's invaluable.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, giving people the GTA cheat code of now I've got 3 million in a bank and I can get flying cars and I can do this, I can do that.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah.
You know, do we actually want that future where everybody has access to a cheat code?
But you also touched on some of the pros was the Parkinson's, the diseases and all that stuff being eradicated.
Yeah.
Like I do feel like that is that's amazing to cut out all of the diseases or a vast majority of diseases with a chip is not something that's been heard of before. Definitely giving ourselves a higher ability to have free will and do whatever you want and be able to do what you want is crazy. It's madness. Jokes aside, it's definitely madness.
Yeah, being and able to achieve your goals faster is good, but then it's also the argument of, all right, the Conor Benn Chris Bank situation. People don't like the fact that Conor Benn used performance enhancing drugs, and in boxing that's frowned upon. It's like, why are you cheating? So it's like, all right, cool, everyone who has learned how to play the piano really well, will they want to play the piano and make music and collaborate with the people who cheat in their eyes because they've used Neuralink? The other thing I was thinking of as well is that we don't really understand the brain, the human brain, to our full capacity yet.
Yeah.
So like, why are we putting, you know, chips in our heads when we still don't fully understand what consciousness is.
Yeah, that's super powerful. Playing devil's advocate again, I kind of feel that if this chip was accessible to everyone, there is a world where poverty could be improved because everyone will potentially be able to do the things that they tell themselves that they can't do, or the things that maybe even in a practical sense they genuinely can't do it, but then the chip gives them the ability to be able to, let's say, be a musician, to be one of the greatest musicians, or at least be able to hang with other musicians, at least be able to do finance, at least be able to practice being a doctor or being a nurse. The chip will give them the ability to actually access these things, if, which is a dream world, the chip is accessible to everyone. I imagine this Neuralink sim, and Sammy, you can maybe tell me more, but I imagine this thing is going to be really expensive, and the uber rich is the only people that are going to be able to afford this chip in this Neuralink chip.
Most likely.
Yeah.
I'll find out for you.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, whilst he's looking into that, I think, you know, about what you said around it raising the base level of basically everyone. So, which is not a bad thing, but then you have all the questions around that is who controls the chips?
Yeah.
So Neuralink are the ones that we go back to whenever we need to troubleshoot issues with the chip that's in our head.
Yeah.
How much do we actually trust Neuralink as a business?
Yeah.
One. Okay, cool. And how much do we know about Neuralink's knowledge about the brain? Do we know everything they know before we actually put this chip in our head? And this, I feel like there's just not enough questions, there's not enough time, there's not enough case studies. And when you look at, you know, generally science research methods, they happen over a longer period of time.
Yes.
And me personally, I wouldn't want to be the first person that has the chip implanted in my head, with the caveat, unless I was going through something that was very terminal, like Parkinson's, or, and even then I'll still be asking myself the questions, if I have the right frame of mind, is this something that I want?
Yeah, and I agree with you. As much as I was playing devil's advocate, I think me personally, the chip thing doesn't sit well for me. I'm thinking of that movie that we watched not too long ago, where it was babies being created in a pod between two couples. The woman that played the Game of Thrones, Daenerys, she was Daenerys, wasn't she?
Emilia Clarke, yeah.
Yes, there was a movie between her and this black guy, and then the premise of that movie was they are able to create.
You don't remember the black guy's name?
No, he's the one he's the main guy in 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, his name is very crazy. His name is Chiwetel. Yeah, Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Okay, we'll go with Ejiofor. Mr. Ejiofor was playing it with Olivia Clarke.
Emilia Clarke. The movie's called The Pod Generation.
Yes, there we go. The Pod. Thank you, Sammy, for that. That movie, great movie. It gave you a perspective on being able to, not a bit like the Neuralink thing, but right from the beginning, you are able to customize what your baby is able to do, look like, anything that you want your baby to come out as.
You can change the eye color, the hair color,
full on customization.
The IQ, I think they call that genetic engineering or something.
Yes, not customization, but that for me felt unethical, and it was a battle between the two couples. The husband in the beginning is a complete naturist, if that's a word. He wants natural babies to be born, but the universe and the era that they were living at that time, everything could move forward. You can have fake trees that essentially do the same thing as real tree, but he was trying to preserve the idea of nature, whereas Emilia Clarke's character was very much into the forward thinking version of life and where it was at. So she was working at a very successful company and everything was very forward thinking, so she was for having a customized baby.
That's very interesting, and I wonder whether we're going to arrive at the same fork in the road. You know, you've got Apple with Aura, and they want to help us control our moods and basically get healthier, and then you've just talked about the fact that or they've already shown in movies where this can actually end up when you are able to control things to the nth degree.
Yeah.
So are we going to arrive at this point in the future where we're going to have opposing views on whether we should or shouldn't give birth to a child that is free of all disease, free of any weaknesses that make them
immune to everything.
Immune to basically the harshness of life.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I got some numbers for you guys. So, Teddy, to your question, right now the procedure costs $10,500.
Wow.
And then $50,000 in maintenance and insurance and all the whole thing.
To do genetic engineering on your
child? No, to put a chip in your brain.
Oh. Is that $50,000 a year in maintenance?
Or it just says $50,000. So the expenditure could rise to about $50,000 in insurance and additional expenses.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Elon Musk says that in the future, in the near future, it's going to cost between $1,000 and $2,000 for everybody.
That's wild.
And then there are a lot of surveys that ran a research to ask people whether they would want to do it or not. So we got one research that had from the US that had majority opposed non-medical use for these type of technologies. In the UK, 79% said they would not consider it. Yeah. They're like, no, allow that, mate. And then internationally, 82% would not. This is Business Insider poll. So I would say this is probably the YouGov poll from the UK, and this one, I trust these two. 82% said that they would not, and 10% are in the undecided. So
10%. That's, do you know what? That's really encouraging.
It is. Yeah, you want to stay human. Yeah. You know what I mean? For
because,
now.
But the be all and end all of this, all the whole idea of it is basically giving humans the ability to play God.
Yeah.
Like, you are now in a space where you don't need to speak to a higher power or even, like, how do you even police the extent of what you can and can't do?
Mm.
Like, it's crazy, you can tell your chip, I want to know how I can rob a bank and no one's ever going to catch me. You can be a mastermind in so many different aspects of illegal things, basically.
Yeah, you can say, look, I want to be an expert in body language. And then, you know, your intent behind that is to use your ability to read people to commit fraudulent activities. So then it's like, okay, cool. Now I know how to get that thing that I want because I'm an expert in manipulating this person when they're feeling this way because they're giving me this tell.
So you even got me thinking, like, imagine someone that's never had any kind of intimacy with anyone, and then they decide, I'm going to save 10 grand to get this chip, and I want to be the best master of being able to interact with the opposite sex, and I want to have my way with the opposite sex because I haven't done it, I've never done it, and that's exactly what I want to do beyond my, I don't want to marry anyone, I just want sex, that's my intention.
I really think by that time virtual sex will be better than real sex.
I think
what people are going to use this stuff in the future is to come back to this time to have a real human experiences where real pleasure and feeling exist apart from the artificial. That's why I truly think it's going to go, our problems when we're there, they're going to be like, how can I be human?
I can't feel.
It's like the agent from the Matrix, he can't feel, right?
Mr. Smith
can't feel or something like that. There's going to be that. I think majority of us, like, I can't feel anything. We're just nihilistic people, nothing matters. So now we're going to go into segment number 2. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Fan Zone. So what happens in this segment is I have questions that we collected from Teddy's fans. I'm just going to pose these questions to you. If you want to answer them, answer them. If you don't, just pass. And Sydney, feel free to jump in and heckle and do your thing, man.
Of course.
Them on the spot.
They're not my fans.
No, they are. You're a black fan.
I'm joking.
So, first question. Teddy,
yes.
Would you ever go back to reality TV? And if so, what show would you do next?
It depends on the show. I would potentially do... I'm going to stick myself in it now, isn't it? I would potentially do I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here, because it's super challenging. That show I'd be interested in doing, because there's a lot of things that I'm a stubborn character. There's a lot of things that I tell myself I won't do, but if put in front of me, I will do it. Like, I won't turn it down. So if someone was like, "Yo, put this snake on your shoulders," I would like to think I'll pass out in that moment, but I'll do it just based off stubbornness. So that's the only thing I'll do. But no, right now my sights at the moment is on doing things that are more geared towards Netflix, Prime, Apple TV, and we'll leave it as that.
Lovely. Next question. What's something you wish people knew about you outside of Love Island?
Do you know what? I am chilled. It takes a lot to piss me off. But I am a...
I don't know about that.
I'm a nerd. Hey, what, you think I get pissed off easily?
Arguably.
Really? What was the last thing I was pissed off at?
No, I just think that sometimes you can be reactive, so I just choose not to say things because I know how you'd react.
Wow, that's a new one.
Yeah. Huh. But anyway, as you were.
Yeah, I've okay.
You just called him out. No, hold on, we gotta talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know what the last thing I was pissed off at. Like angry. And
no, I wouldn't say angry. Exactly. I'll just say that, you know, I know you would get in a mood if I was to say certain things. So I just
like what?
Say so you now. Think you think you're always chilled, but it's because I help control that environment by not saying certain things.
So you see Sydney, Sydney's an AI chip. This is what Sydney is. Sydney is ChatGPT-5.
Can I give my two cents?
Yeah.
I think Teddy likes things a certain way.
Yes.
That's what it is. And when he's not, when they're not a certain way, he might be reserved. And I think that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't scream and shout. Like that's what I mean. Like I'm chilled.
I agree.
I definitely have issues with things. I'm not gonna say like I don't have issues with things, mm-hmm. but I won't present it in an angry manner is what I mean.
Yeah.
Like I definitely have things that I like in a certain way and I'll go back to it and be like, yo, like could you do this? And you will know, being my brother, you will always know that this has annoyed me and mm-hmm. nagged me, but I'm never gonna be angry about it or I'm never gonna be like really, really trying to get my own way. Like we will move past it and you will be able to tell that that annoyed me, but to the outside world, it won't be like I moved mad because that thing annoyed me.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by impatient.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't want you to explain yourself. Now you sound defensive.
And then what? So now I'm pissed off. What was the other part of that, Sammy? Sorry.
There so like the question was, what's something you wish people would know about you?
Okay, this was it. That so outside of Love Island, it was the fact that I didn't even get to it, but it was the fact that I don't think a lot of people know that I'm quite nerdy.
Mm.
So like when I say nerdy, it's like I watch anime. Mm. I'm quite goofy because I don't really show that side of me on social media. I love gaming. Like most nights, most weekends, pretty much every weekend, me and my mates are online.
Nice.
We're all online playing COD, or we're doing anime and what binging on lots of anime series and stuff like that. So like I'm quite a nerdy guy, to be fair. So
happy days, people are going to find out watching this show now. Amazing. So you have a lot of followers online. How do you stay grounded like when it comes to that? A lot of people lose track of who they are and start, you know, maybe developing a new character that it's not them.
Yeah.
But for you, you've been same guy for a long time, since you've just been you, right? How do you stay grounded and not just lean towards that, you know, that ego side of things?
To be honest, I think it's this. It's like conversation with people that I love and being around people that I love. Like most of my friends and well, obviously family, but most of my friends, like we've all known each other for like more than 10 years. I don't really know anyone that's I would class as a friend that is kind of less than 10 years. Doing things that are also true to me. Like I've never looked at the following that I have and thought, oh my god, I'm this person within the UK. Like there's so many people that I also consider to be way more famous or in the limelight than I am. And that's how I've always viewed it. So like if someone on the street was to ask me a question, I would answer it. I don't put myself higher than anyone else on a pedestal, if that makes sense.
Perfect. Bit more fun question. What anime character matches your personality?
Oh, Sid, I want to throw it to you. What anime character?
No, that's your question.
No, for you to answer. For, like, who do you think would match my character in the anime world?
Danzo.
Danzo.
No, joking.
Danzo.
You know who Danzo is, Danzo, yeah?
Yeah, from Naruto. Yeah, he's got all the different Sharingans on his arms. Yeah, that's madness. Oh, it's crazy.
First off, what? Let's choose an anime.
An anime.
What anime do you think?
Yo, I've never thought of this before. It's like, what animal do you think you are?
Not anime, anime character. Anime. So if we choose a big world, like either One Piece or Naruto, I think you're a Naruto fan. Have you watched Naruto?
No, One Piece more than Naruto. He's the Naruto. Okay, he's so watched One Naruto Piece. Till the end. But One Piece.
Who do you think you would be?
I'll probably say maybe Sanji.
Yes,
Sanji's a great shout.
I love that. He's reliable, very reliable, powerful as hell, got an amazing family, just loves the ladies, man. That's what it is.
And the cooking as well. I'll say the cooking. Like, I'll definitely serenade a lady with cooking.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We got Sanji from the Straw Hat Crew. We're here with us.
Hey, quick one though. Who would you say you are, Sid, anime character wise?
Right now, he's looking like Teach when he was in the White Bear Pirates, bro. Yeah, you're looking like Teach right now.
Yeah, I'm looking like Blackbeard.
Black.
That's him. Like, people who don't watch anime be like, what the?
Exactly.
Which one? So, what, One Piece or Naruto? Here you go. In fact, let's stick to One Piece. Who would you say within the One Piece world?
One Piece world.
Yeah.
That's a difficult question. I'll probably say
so hard.
I'll probably say Zoro. I probably identify more with him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Zoro is not a bad.
I think his sole focus on just wanting to be the best swordsman.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what's mad? Yeah. I disagree with that.
Really?
Yeah.
So what would you say then?
I would go Ace.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know why?
That's a
good one. Because Ace, I remember when Ace came to the scene and everyone's like super excited to see him. He brings everyone together and it's like, rah, he's cool. And I feel like every time you walk into a room, no bias, but every time you walk into a room, everyone's gassed. Like, it's like, yeah, this is Sid. Oh my God. Like, I want to do what he's doing. He's got cool powers. He's got, like, when he's.
I'll take that.
In the community, I feel like.
Thank you.
You'll be missed. Cheers to that. Cheers. Honestly, you, Ace. I'll go with Ace.
All right.
That's an amazing compliment. That's and amazing. I can attest to that. When you first came here, I was gassed.
Thank you very much.
For what reason? I don't know why.
Yeah. People at home, I came in and I was the first one to shake Sammy's hand. Yo, how you doing? When Sid came in, Sammy was like, hey, Sid!
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Don't apologize now, Sammy. I only wish one of these cameras were here. Because you're like, you look sick. I was like, wait, what?
I'm so sorry.
That's funny.
So yeah, it's true what he's saying, man.
That's my point. That's like Ace. When Ace comes into the room, everyone feels his presence. They feel his hacking.
And even the viewers, bro. Viewers, like when Ace was on screen, everybody was gassed at all times.
Crazy. I almost cried when he died.
You got a juicy one coming. I can't wait.
Okay, if someone's catching feelings.
Yes.
But afraid to say it first. What should they do?
If someone's catching feelings, but...
I can't believe fan asked you this question. Somebody caught feelings.
Oh, we're in fan zone.
We're in fan questions.
Oh, we're in fan zone right now.
A fan said, if someone's catching feelings, I was like, someone? That's you. Sorry, that's probably why they didn't put their names here.
Just asking for a friend.
Yeah, exactly. If someone's catching feelings, but afraid to say it first, what should they do?
Do you know what? This sounds crazy, but I think you should say it. I think you should bite the bullet and put yourself out there and do it because of two reasons. One, you might miss the boat. Two, you will forever think if the moment passes you by where you could have said it in not even 5 years, but like in a month's time, you'll be speaking to your people and be like, oh man, I could have been with that person. It will always there's an itch that you can't scratch, and you'll always revisit that moment. Especially if it was like that 2 minute relationship, like we spoke about 2 second relationship, and it's like, oh my god, like this person is amazing, like they check every single box without even having spoken to them.
Yeah, but what if you need to qualify the situation first, though. You can't just be telling anyone that you like them.
This is like, the if you are feeling someone,
but you don't know whether they're feeling anybody else.
Like, but this is exactly why you should approach the situation and look.
What about asking them? What? How's your dating situation going?
What, before you tell them that you're feeling them?
Of course, you don't know whether they're going out with someone else right now. Well, you just walk up to someone who you're getting to know, and
if you're getting to know them, you'll know that they're seeing someone.
But you should definitely qualify.
It's like But outside of the variable of them liking someone or not, or in fact being okay, well, let's create
the conditions.
What are
the right conditions in which you would tell someone that you like them?
If they're not in a relationship, mm-hmm. they're completely single, they're going about their day, they're going about their business, as I am. I would just go for broke and tell them. Especially if you have an existing relationship and you have a vibe that conveniently you're the only one that thinks there's a vibe, you should do it, because the clarity for me is better than being in limbo. Just being able to understand, yes, it's going to be a heartbreaking, heart-wrenching moment if they turn around and they're like, oh no, I thought this was just friends, or you're not my type, and this, that, and the other. Character building, it's so painful, but like, if we're being honest here, there's so many situations where you've been like, yo, if you like her, go speak to her, and I've been like, forget about it, but then I'll talk about it in like 5 hours and be like, yo, that girl, this person, that person, I should have spoke to her, should have done this, I should have done that, and I can read your response, and it's the frustration of like, well why didn't you then?
You gotta shoot that shot, man.
You gotta shoot that shot. Because what the worst thing that will happen is you miss and then say F off. Fine. It's not gonna wound you that much.
And that brings us to the end of Fan Zone. Thank you guys for sending over your questions. I'm so sorry if I skipped over your question. We had a few coming in.
I wanna say thank you as well. Thank you for your questions, people. Very good questions.
Thank you very much. Those are great.
And please send over some more for next episode. And we will do the ones that we left out, so we will get to your question at some point. Alrighty, we moving on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Game Room. Alright, so in Game Room we got 2 games for today. Tell us guys how you feel about these games, and if you want to suggest other games, please do let us know. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Alright, so
is there going to be a winner and a loser?
Is it me versus Sid?
It is you versus Sid.
Me versus Sid, okay.
So, this first game is called Anime or Nah.
Anime or Nah, okay.
I will give you plot descriptions, and you tell me whether this is a real anime or a fake one. I have trust that you know a lot of these animes that we included in this segment, so it should be an easy one. So the first one, you just tell me whether it's real or it's fake. First anime. A bored superhero can defeat any enemy with a single punch, but finds no joy in his invincibility. Is this a real anime or a fake one? I'll read it again.
So who's going first?
Let's start with you, Teddy.
Yeah. I can tell you what anime I think it is as well, if you want.
So what
that.
Do you think?
I think it's One Punch Man.
I agree.
Hey. It is a real anime. It is One Punch Man.
Can we put One Punch Man somewhere on the screen as well?
Sick.
Next one. One
Punch Man against 100 gorillas.
One Punch Man.
Oh come on, bro! One Punch Man for right, sure.
Okay. I think he will punch a hole through the earth.
Yeah.
I think he'll be all right.
If he wanted to, if he sneezed, he'll be fucked.
Yeah. All right. So I think it's best that, if you know, just jump on the question and you win the point.
Okay, a buzzer kind of thing.
Because you could influence each other. And next time, I'm going to bring you both buzzers.
Yeah, dope.
Let's do it. So, humanity is trapped within giant walls to survive monstrous titans that devour humans. Got it. Humans.
Attack on Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Pete.
That's Pete. All right, I'll let you finish next time. Yeah, that's right. Pete.
Nah, if you know, you know.
No, that's too much. Because it was here. It was right there. I felt it. Eric.
And I said the word titan.
Yeah.
All right. Anime number 3. Teenagers use VR headset to explore other people's dreams, but one gets stuck in a nightmare.
Nah, not real.
Correct.
Hey!
So 2-1 to Teddy.
2-1?
2-1 to Teddy, yes. All right. Anime number 3. In a world without gravity, nuns with magical rifles protect floating cities from the sky pirates.
Anime.
It sounds real. It actually sounds so real.
That's minus one. Man.
Yeah, it sounded good. It sounded good.
I've watched so many animes. I've not heard that one.
I was thinking, yeah, that sounds good. I haven't watched it, but I'll watch it. What is that?
Anime number 5. A student swallows a cursed object and joins a secret school of sorcerers to fight evil spirits.
It's real.
Jujutsu Kaisen.
Hey! No, but I ain't gonna.
I know. Yeah.
I like that. I like that. You know your stuff still. So 3-0. 3-0 for.
3-1. Why are the scores changing?
Because we went to 2-1. The deduction, bro.
There's a deduction that happened. Bro. So 3-0. So that's good. You guys know your anime. All right. An underground idol group trains in martial arts to battle rival bands in illegal stadium fights.
True. Anime.
Name?
Baki.
You know what?
That's not right, though. That's not true, though, is it?
It's Kengura Baki, Ashura. Though, is
it? I think, you know, I'm going to give it to him.
No, but it's not Baki or Kengura, though, is it?
No. This is why I'm going to give it to him. Because it sounds exactly like Baki and it sounds exactly like Kenshin Ashura. Is it? Is it called Kenshin Ashura?
Yeah, the Ragnarok.
It sounds exactly like that. So I'm going to have to... Because I put a fake scenario here, but I just realized, oh, that's Baki. So I'm going to have to give it to him. So 3-1.
That's bad.
Teddy Suarez with the lead.
Yeah, right. I'm really showing how I'm spending my time here as well. All right.
Are you ready?
Right, yeah. Go for it.
Anime number 7. A weak hunter gains mysterious ability to level up infinitely after surviving a deadly dungeon.
It's true.
Solo Hunter.
No, I got it.
No, I've been the wrong thing. Solo Hunter.
You both deserve a point for that. Yeah, you said at the same time. The score is 4-2.
Solo Leveling is wild, by the way.
It's the best.
It's so good.
I mean, after One Piece, of course.
All right. Next anime. A powerful warrior from another planet defends Earth against aliens, androids, and gods.
Not true. Shit.
He knows he's wrong. So I'm going to give you the...
Alien.
I'm going to read it again and then you're going to you have to tell me the name. If you don't know anime. A powerful warrior.
Super Saiyan Goku.
From another planet.
Super Saiyan Goku.
Defends Earth against aliens, androids, and gods.
Goku.
What's the name of the anime?
Dragon Ball Z.
There you go.
Is it? Oh, shit.
There you go. Closing the lead is Sydney Suarez. 4-2, with the 4-3 now.
4-3.
Huh? Yeah, because he had Baki, and then he had Solo Leveling with you.
Oh, shit.
And now
he had a deduction as well, so it should be 3-3.
All right, next anime. Who had a deduction?
Yeah.
There it is. Thank you so much. Almost. Thank you, Sydney. You almost went under the radar over there. All right, next one. Ghosts gather at ramen shop only open from midnight to 4 a.m.
It's true. Shaman King. Surely. No.
It's a fake scenario. There's no such thing.
No, but I swear Shaman
it's
King.
It's a fake.
Shaman King does that though, no?
No.
No, you know that's right, bro.
Shaman cake?
Yeah, Shaman King.
Shaman King.
Shaman King. S-H-A-M-E-N King.
Shaman King. Let's find that out real quick. But I have it as fake, so we're going to continue as fake. So, for the first time ever, Sydney's in the lead with 3 points to 2 points for Teddy.
4-3.
All right. Damn. So, that's fake. So, next one. Students train to become sunset tamers, controlling when and how each day ends.
Nah, I'm calling fake. Fake.
Nice. Okay, yeah, you're back. It's back to 3-3.
Shit.
And that's it. That's anime or nah. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Red Flag or Green Flag, a game that we're going to play with Sydney and Teddy Suarez. And it's about relationships. So I'm going to give you guys scenarios and you're going to tell me whether this is a red flag or a green flag in the relationship. So the first scenario, they still follow and like all their ex's photos on Instagram.
Based off that, red flag. Yeah, red flag. Wait. That's a red flag.
Amazing. Red flag. They've never been in a serious relationship before and they're over 30.
Oh, red flag. Ooh. Red flag.
Yeah, that's a red flag. Never been in a serious relationship in your 20s. In your teens, I can understand. Maybe it took a long time for you to glow up. And that's okay. Everyone glows up at different stages. But then you say in 20s. Oh, what's going on now? Somebody needs some help. Somebody needs to talk to you.
It's a red flag. It's a red flag. You can't manage
one relationship.
Yeah, it's peak.
Sorry.
They always post cryptic emotional quotes on their IG story when they're upset.
Oh my God. You know, I know one girl like this, you know. I know one girl. She's doing it right now.
What's her name? Was her government?
No, I won't even say what her government name is. But
well, yeah, it's aimed at you.
That's not even aimed at me because I've never done anything with this girl and I'm calm. So, but I'm just saying that. Look at me. Everything's wonky now. Like I'm lying.
Oh my god. You might as well free up a government name.
But I've seen it a lot. We see it a lot. They post these cryptic and it's like, no.
Red I'm flag or sure. Green flag.
Do you know what happened? It's always on a Monday as well. Yeah, it's always after a heavy weekend. Yeah. They fucked up.
Yeah.
And they're like,
how many times have you fucked up? No, red flag. I'm sorry. You did it too many times.
Red flag is peak.
They only watch dubbed only anime and they say that sub anime is too much work.
Cheesy American version.
Yeah, they
it's
watch.
Like, hey man. No.
So they're watching the crazy English speaking version.
Yeah,
as
dubbed
opposed
only.
To,
Forget that. Red flag.
Yeah,
no.
Big red flag.
We can't watch anything together.
Yeah.
They bring their pet to the first date unannounced.
Green flag, bro.
Unannounced?
Yeah, man.
No, I don't want to see your dog today.
What did Sorry. You want? Because you wanted to see Kitty instead.
100.
I like that.
A green flag. Yeah, the animal is not doing anything, bro. Cute little.
Alright, so I'm getting red flags on this one? Or green flag?
I love animals, so green.
No, because you bring a snake to the date, what are you going to do?
One anaconda in the middle of Mayfair, bro. Like, what the fuck?
There's only one snake allowed in this room, yeah.
That's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, that's crazy.
So we're split on that one. We're split. Mm-hmm.
It's true. It depends on the pet.
It depends on the pet.
I am
more
his my lizard. You know.
Yeah, bro.
Even if it's a snake, for me personally, if it's a snake, I've got a phobia. If I pass out, bro, it can work both ways. She's looking after you. Then I'm so sorry. Da-da-da-da-da. So we've got some bonding there.
No, then you need to be careful. What is she doing to you when you're in blackout? Let's move on. Next one.
They text back immediately every single time, even during work or sleep.
No, red flag for me, bro. I have a big problem with that.
Yeah, we need some time to think.
No, but actually, do you know what's mad? I'm gonna say red flag just because I personally don't respond straight away. However, there's a part in my mind which is going to sound so much of a contradiction. When the opposite person, the partner you're speaking to, doesn't reply, my mind is like, oh shit, she hasn't replied yet. Which tells me that obviously I want the reply. But in theory, I'm like, oh, don't reply straight away. Because I know I'm personally not going to reply straight away. That's the only reason. But in practicality, I'd like not to wait for her reply. Does that make sense?
So you got double standards.
Maybe.
I kind of see his point. It's almost like, give it a little wait before. Don't sound desperate.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Keep me working. Keep me guessing. For sure. Yeah, keep the excitement going. Okay, they're in a group chat named Toxic Avengers with their best friends.
Toxic Avengers sounds so mad. Wow. That's a red flag. That's a red flag and a half. There's too many stories in that group chat, surely.
Rotted. Yeah, that's Toxic a red Avengers. Flag. That's a red flag.
Nice.
Who are you avenging and why?
Yeah.
Fuck.
All right, next one. Mm. They don't believe in birthdays and never celebrate them. Including yours.
Yeah, red flag and a half. I've got acts of service, bro, in my whole love language situation.
They don't believe in birthdays. They don't believe in life. They basically believe in death. They're the devil. Simple.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my word. Wait, the problem is with that, though. The problem is, it's in your Zoma. Not everyone believes in celebration.
You have to celebrate life, bro.
No. Did you know the reason why I say it's a red flag is because kids always love that stuff. So, like, if we have kids and you're just the neg in the relationship, then that's terrible. But, like, for yourself, sometimes you don't want to celebrate your own birthday for certain reasons.
I get it. I think a lot of people who say that is because, you know, maybe there's been some trauma or they haven't had people around them that's given them the birthday that they wanted. Like, you know what? Fuck all birthdays now going forward, innit?
Yeah.
I don't care about nobody's birthday. Not even mine, not yours. I get that.
Yeah.
I won't say they're the devils, but I'm saying someone who's like, every day, I don't care about nobody's birthday. Nah. This person, watch them. Red flag.
Yeah.
In an extreme scenario.
This is it.
Yeah. All right. Last one. And this is particularly for Teddy. They admit to secretly Googling you before the first date.
I respect it. Green flag. Right. You've done a bit of research. Appreciate that.
Right. Positive guy.
Yeah, he looks at the positivity
in the world. I love that. What about you, Sydney? They Googled you, bro. I can Google you. There's a lot about you out here, man.
Pete. What's that priest called? What's he called again? Dr. Omar.
Dr. Umar. He's not even a priest. He's a fraud. A false prophet. A false prophet. That's what you are.
Yeah, he's a terrible person, I'll be honest.
Amazing. I'm looking at the most popular searches for Sydney Suarez, and I'm number one. People are looking for Sydney. Does Sydney Suarez have an OnlyFans account?
Oh, crazy. Wow. He wants to
see, how much would they pay, though?
I'll consider it.
Yeah, you know, we'll run up something.
Amazing. That was a joke, by the way.
Yeah, no.
I was wondering.
That's probably more Teddy, I'll be honest. Yeah. But I'm not willing to Google that.
I can tell you here firsthand, I don't have an OnlyFans account unless someone's pretending to be me.
That's fair. That's fucked up. Unless you go there, like, I could be that guy. My guy with a 14-inch. That could be me.
Then I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Amazing. Which brings us to the end of the segment. Red flag, green flag. Thank you guys so much for playing.
That was fun.
I'll leave it to you guys to close the show.
Great stuff.
I hope you all enjoyed those segments. Bit different, bit fun, bubbly. I'm looking forward to seeing what some of your answers are to a lot of those questions. But yes, do not forget to leave a comment, like, subscribe, and we will see you next time. Thank you for being here.
Woo!